Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Well, yesterday we started a brand new lesson on hiding, and today is part two of that lesson. It's called Confessing the Wrong Sin. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why you're not experiencing freedom from pornography? Why you can't seem to go an extended period of time without viewing porn? Maybe your spouse is listening right now and they're thinking, yeah, why can't they stop? And some of you are thinking, well, you know what, man? I've been confessing sin. It's not working in my life. This group thing is not working. This counseling thing is not working. I've been doing it off and on for years, and I just don't get it. I've been doing all this stuff, and yet it just seems to work for a short period of time, but that's it. And this freedom that you're talking about, Dustin, well, man, I just don't get it. I don't get it, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm simply going to be an addicted Christian for the rest of my life. Have you ever said that? Maybe thought about it? Well, me too, along with many, many other people, so you're not alone. So let's talk about it. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, how it's not pornography we're in bondage to, but rather it's the pleasure that the pornography brings. Number two, how consequences seem to change everything. They do. And then number three, how maybe, just maybe, you're confessing the wrong sin. And I'm going to share a prayer with you that will change everything. This podcast is from a larger lesson. It's called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, this bondage, this addiction to pornography. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Confessing the Wrong Sin.
Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Isn't that a great God? You can write on your notes there, 1 John 1:9. You know, 1 John 1:9 and James 5:16, we should rename the ministry that, because that's what this thing is all about, right? 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins to Almighty God, He is faithful and just to forgive me. It's based on His faithfulness, not ours. We're not faithful to Him, right? And then James 5:16 says, if I'm going to confess my sin to a brother, then that's where the healing begins. I'm going to have brothers praying for me. So, why aren't some of you experiencing healing tonight? Some of you are thinking, well, I'm confessing my sin. I may be confessing it to God and not to somebody in here. That would be the first problem I would just advise you of, that the sin needs to be confessed in here as well as to God. But for those of you who are going, you know what, man? We've been going over this thing for 6 or 7 weeks now, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, with the introduction to biblical sexuality, but it's not working, Dustin. Why isn't it working? Well, there's a couple things. If you're stuck in this cycle of sin, confess, key point number four, and you're not experiencing healing, you have to note and come to terms with you're in bondage to the pleasure, or you're a slave to the pleasure. If you want to write addicted to the pleasure, you can do that. Notice that through this series and through God's word, we really don't use the word addicted much. And the reason, do you know why?
Well, I look at bondage, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, is that with bondage, I am essentially powerless with bondage. Addicted to me makes it sound like if I can just get it figured out, I can fix it. Mm-hmm. Bondage to me says I need you and you and him. Mm-hmm. And then I follow his word and I pray. And that's the only way I'm released from bondage.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look.
Yeah, that's great. Addiction has this tone of being a victim. I'm addicted because my dad was a sex addict and an alcoholic. I'm addicted because I was sexually molested when I was a child. See how I can play that card?
Rationalization.
And I can play that card all day long with secular counseling. It's not my fault. I didn't choose to be abused. My dad had a collection of pornography, and all that is true. But God uses bondage and slavery instead of the word addiction. You do find the word addiction in 1 Timothy when the Apostle Paul says, we're talking about elders. You know, you're looking for people who are above reproach, not addicted to much wine. And keep in mind that the word addicted there is this idea of someone else is your master. Someone else is giving you your orders. But when you're in bondage and slavery, it's the same thing. But there's not that tone of victimization to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Key point number 5, the consequences have not become severe enough. So if you're in a cycle of sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, and you're not experiencing healing, the consequences have not been severe enough. So in other words, this idea of not changing is less than not changing at all. So if you put these two things on a scale, right, whatever the consequences are, those have to start getting higher for us to get our attention. And that's what it is for a lot of men, right? Those consequences have to start piling up, and we have to start suffering for our sin. And then key point number 6, it could be if you're in a cycle of sin, confess, you're not experiencing healing, that you're confessing the wrong sin. You're confessing the wrong sin. You're not confessing to God that you love the pleasure. So there's an example there of a prayer that I would encourage you guys to read. So it's this idea of, Lord, please forgive me for my sin, right? That's what we all do. Please forgive me for this. Versus just, Father, forgive me in general. So, Father, forgive me, I did it again. Lord God, please forgive me for lust. Please forgive me for masturbation, for pornography. Please forgive me because, and then we can just read it. I love the pleasure that my sin brings. Lord, please forgive me that I love this right now more than I love you. I love it more than I love people, and that's why I continue to rebel and run from you. And I'm not being an obedient son. Father, please forgive me. Please humble me. And please take everything away from me so I will stop making intentional choices that harm other people. Please do whatever it takes to mold me into the man that you've destined me to be. It's this idea that, that we're going to quit telling God what to do with our lives, right? This God in a box type thing. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not going to do it again. Instead of, you know, what does surrender look like? What's that look like in our lives? So you're in a 7-Eleven and I come up to you and I've got a gun and I do this. What are you going to do?
Listen to you.
What are you physically going to do?
Nothing. Well, freeze.
What would you do? There you go. That's
do
what I'm looking. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Do whatever.
This. You guys. Yeah. Have you guys never seen Cops?
No.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
Switch it on him.
Right. It's this idea of surrender. And I got to tell you guys, surrender is hard. It's just hard. And I'm not talking about sexual sin stuff, man. I'm talking about life. God gets you out of this box. You start praying a prayer like that. Holy, just watch out. But we have to understand that God's intention for us is so much better than our intention for ourselves. Ephesians 3:20, to him be the glory. For you know, you can do more than I could ever ask or even think. Think about that. You can do abundantly more, exceedingly more than I could ever ask or even think. Oh, according to the power at work within me, which is the Holy Spirit. You start praying a prayer like that, not only will you start gaining some self-control in this area of sexual integrity, and you won't have to worry about, you know, the girls walking around in stretch pants or too short shorts. You won't have to worry about that stuff because that stuff's stupid. Because you're a man of God, you're a man of integrity. They're wearing short shorts and stretch pants and dressing like that because they don't know. They're trying to find love in all the wrong places, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the love that they're going to attract is one of just flat-out abuse. It breaks my heart. But you know what? When I was that age, that's what I wanted to see. And my prayer for these girls is that they don't date someone like me. Flat out. That they're not dating some knucklehead like me. So this idea of hiding. So we've learned tonight that we can hide, and then also the Lord himself can hide his face, right? If there's unrepentant sin in your life, make no doubt about it. God's not listening to your prayers. He's not. You can search the scriptures for that. It's over and over and over again. But there's also another way of hiding. And this is really cool. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. And I'm the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses was afraid to look at God. He hid his face. Why did why did Moses hide his face?
Was he like Adam? Was he aware of his shortcomings, his failings? Is that what he hid from? In his heart, I guess.
Could be. Anybody else have any takers? Huh?
Ashamed to be in his presence. Not worthy.
Not worthy, absolutely. When you read passages like that, guys, and you have a question, see what else the Bible has to say about that same topic. Because what you'll find out is that Scripture interprets Scripture, right? So it's this idea of the reason that Moses couldn't look at God is because nobody can look at God and live. So imagine if God is spirit and light, then you know, the closest thing that we can come to is looking at the sun. But he hid himself because of who he was, because God's holy, man. And I look at this passage, guys, and Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. I think when we come to the Lord in our prayers and we go and we rush into them, let's just take a deep breath and let's remember who we're talking to. I mean, this is God. He's our Father. And yes, he loves us, but he's holy. And there's a reverence that we as Protestants, evangelicals, whatever your background is or whatever you are now, we've lost that. You know, there's some other faiths that hold to a reverence that we could certainly learn from. But I think it's a good takeaway that we remember who we're talking to. And inside the scriptures for the purity plan this week, you're going to run into some of these psalms. Let me give you one more scripture before we break into groups here. Turn to Psalm 119, 114.
That's my favorite psalm now.
Good. Psalm 119, verse 114. I love Psalm 119 because it just keeps pointing us right back to the Word. Psalm 119, verse 114. You're my hiding place. You're my shield. I hope in your Word. So you're my hiding place. See, it's this idea, guys. It's not that I'm going to go run away and hide. It's not the fact that I've got unrepentant sin in my life and I refuse to repent, so God's going to hide his face from me. How about we hide the Lord's word in our hearts? That we actually hide his word into our hearts. So when we're out on the battlefield here, that we can not just run away, not that we can just say, Jesus, help me, but we could actually start using God's word as the sword of the Spirit. That we're going to hide his word in us. And nobody can take that away from you.
Nobody can take God's word from you. Nobody. And that's why it's so important to plant his word deep, deep into your heart. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, you are my hiding place. You're my shield. I hope in your word. Jesus said in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covers up. And then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. I love that passage. I actually produced a whole podcast on that verse. And if you want to check it out, it's titled Searching for Buried Treasure in Your Life, and it's podcast number 131. You know, there is a godly way to hide. Psalm 27:5 reads, for he will conceal me when the trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Psalm 27:9 reads, do not hide your face from me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Psalm 32:7 reads, you are my hiding place. You will keep me out of trouble. You will surround me with songs that remind me that I'm free. Psalm 38, verse 9, O Lord, all my longing is before you, my sighing is not hidden from you. You know, I used to hide everything. I had so many secrets. I had so many balls of fire that I was trying to juggle with so many different people. I was trying to keep so many things straight, not remembering what I said to who, because my life was a mess. And one of the reasons it was so messy was because I could access porn anytime I wanted on my computer. You know, I also didn't have any accountability. Well, for that matter, I didn't have any friends. And I didn't have any friends because I didn't go out and out of my way to be a friend. I was so consumed with myself. That's what porn does. It's all about me. It's the unholy trinity, right? It's me, myself, and I instead of Father, Son, and Spirit. Porn makes me believe that everyone on this planet is available to serve me. So let me ask you, are you ready to take a step forward from the darkness of what's on your phone and your computer and bring it into the light as well? Well, you can do that. You can install Covenant Eyes accountability and filtering software on it. And you can install this on every single digital device. And when you do this, Man, I'm telling you, you're going to feel a huge weight lifted off of you. I promise you. I've been using it for years. It allows me to avoid exposing myself, my family, my friends from the evils of pornography. So let me encourage you, visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you'll get a 30-day free trial. Just put my name in there in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. My name is Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, let me invite you to our weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives. You can come separately, you can come together, it doesn't matter. Single, divorced, searching for God, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome. And you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. And if you've got a question for me, man, send it in. I would love to hear from you and maybe even respond on this podcast. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power is the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.